Hi, my name is Darren Joseph from HEJ.Tax. We are the team that seeks to demystify the sometimes confusing world of international tax. And today I'm in Jakarta, Indonesia, member of a larger practice called Moores Rowland here in the Asia Pacific. And twice a year, we get together as partners from across 18 countries, 40 offices. I'm the chair of the tax working group, and it's an amazing opportunity to get together with my fellow international tax practitioners and share information on emerging trends in the international tax space. So often when that high net worth family is moving to the US, they already have an investment portfolio, right? That it's only natural. Maybe they have foreign pensions, depending on what jurisdiction they're coming from. It might be a private pension. It may be some sort of governmental pension. Maybe they have an insurance policy, an investment-linked insurance policy with cash surrender values and underlying fund structures. Maybe they would have unit trusts, maybe they'll have foreign ETFs, etc. So essentially, many of those foreign fund structures are what is called a PFIC, or Passive Foreign Investment Company, from a U.S. tax perspective. The PFIC tax regime was created under the 1986 Tax Reform Act. This is under President Reagan. So essentially, the U.S. domestic financial institutions were complaining that when U.S. taxpayers invest abroad, they get certain tax benefits that they don't get when they invest in domestic fund structures, which obviously puts domestic fund structures at a disadvantage. So as a result, the Reagan administration came up with a whole bunch of new tax rules. It was a comprehensive tax reform, but of interest and of relevance to us right now would be the PFIC regime. So a lot of those foreign fund structures are designated a PFIC. And why is that important? Because the code sections around PFICs, these would be sections 1291, 1296, 1297, 1298, they create anti-deferral mechanisms to prevent the accumulation of untaxed income. So these anti-deferral mechanisms, they're sprinkled throughout the tax code, and they tend to target, at least from our point of view, dealing with families moving to the U.S., they would be of relevance to the tax plan and tax strategy, which is why it's really important that you work with a qualified tax team who understands international tax rules, not someone who just looks domestically, but someone who understands the international tax landscape, to, as much as possible, limit the negative impact of rules such as the PFIC rules. So strategies would involve QEF elections, or otherwise known as qualified election funds, or QEF elections under Section 1295, 1296 mark-to-market, or maybe we'll just decide to check the box. Maybe that's the best way. Otherwise, what you're trying to really avoid will be those nasty throwback rules under Section 1291. And when you're Googling, I'm sure you've been doing some research, you'll see a whole lot of scary articles. Essentially, they're talking about 1291. That's what you want to avoid, and that's what happens when you don't get the right advice. Another tool that we've seen used by certain families, especially those that may have the green card, so they may be permanent residents, so they're U.S. taxpayers, but they're spending most of their time, or a lot of their time, outside of the U.S. in a jurisdiction with which the U.S. has a comprehensive and relevant tax treaty. In such cases, we may see it to the advantage of the family member to take a treaty position and to elect to be treated as a non-resident alien. Now, the information returned, so the Form 8621 for the PFIC, still needs to be filed, as well as the FBARs and 8938s or whatever else. But the taxes are going to be paid on U.S. source income only. Now, it is risky from an immigration point of view, but it still is worth considering. My name is Darren Joseph from HEJ.Tax.